top. Tenth Canto, chapter 65. Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan, text 34. This is a special class because today is a special day. This is Purnima, Vaishakh Purnima, the celebrated rasa dance of Lord Balaram and Vrindavan. Sri Balaramaji came to Vrindavan thousands of years ago. He stayed for 2 months, March and April, April and May. Chaitra and Vaishakh. Chaitra and Vaishakh are also called Madhu, the month of Madhu and Madhu. So this is the Purnima of Vaishakh, Vaishakh Purnima, very auspicious day. So Balaram had one of his final rasa dances on this day. So there's a nice chapter that describes this, chapter 65. So this is the concluding verse of that chapter. Translation. Thus for Lord Balaram, all the nights of Chaitra and Vaishakh, those 2 months, they passed by like a single night as he enjoyed in Braj. His mind enchanted by the exquisite charm and beauty of Braj's young ladies. Purport. Lord Balaram was enchanted by the charming pastimes of the beautiful young ladies of Braj. Thus each night was a completely new experience, and all the nights passed by as if they were a single night. Om Ganatim Randasya Ranjanashtava Kakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakti Vansha Kapa Chumiyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Vayyaja Titanam Nibyo Vaishnava Yoyama Vaishnava Tadevasmi Tadevasmi Najiva Mitvaya Vina Iti Vigaya Devitam Nayamancha. Before Balaram came from Dwarka to visit Vrindavan at this time, he had a very interesting conversation with his younger brother, Krishna. And the Acharyas, they recount that conversation that they had in Dwarka 5,000 years ago. Being the elder brother, Balaram was taking a rather older brother position, as older brothers sometimes do. He said, Krishna, why haven't you gone back to Braj? You promised the gopis you'd return. Why haven't you gone there? I have seen that you've traveled to Hastinapur. You've traveled to Mithila. You've traveled to the province of Madras. It used to be a big area, Madras province. But you haven't set your foot back in Braj. Why is this? Why are you so cruel? Why are you so mean and cruel to the residents of Vrindavan? Don't you know? The residents of Vrindavan are dying in desperation. They're so much anxious to see you. Don't you want to go see your mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda? And what about your friends? All your Gopal friends? And what to speak of your beloved Gopis? Don't you care for them? Have you forgotten all about them? Why are you so cruel? Are you just going to turn your back on them? Are you going to turn your back on all the Vrijvasis and never go back there again? Is that what you're going to do? Then Krishna, he, hearing the words of his elder brother, Krishna started crying. Krishna just sat down on the ground and he started crying. He said, Maladev, Daji, I can't go back. It's my nature. This is my nature that I'm ungrateful. Sometimes I'm ungrateful, even to my most beloved ones. And this is my nature to be ungrateful, and because of this nature, I can't go back. And then Krishna started crying, and he fell unconscious on the ground in Dwarka. Then Balaram, he thought, all right, if my younger brother will not go back, then I will go. I will go there and try to comfort and console the Vrijvasis. So with this idea, Balaram mounted his chariot and he headed for Gokul, which is described. Now sometimes the question is asked, why Krishna didn't go. He had a golden opportunity to go back to Vrindavan. We heard one reason given by the Acharyas. But there's another reason given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that even if Krishna wanted to go with Balaram, hop on the chariot and ride to Vrindavan and see the gopis again, to keep his promise which he had given 80 years before. 80 years before that, he gave a promise. Yes, I will come back. I'll go to Mathura. I'll kill a few demons. I'll kill Kamsa. Then I will come back. Now 80 years has passed. And in that interim, when Krishna was in Mathura, he sent Uddhava. And Uddhava came to comfort the gopis. But they weren't comforted. They weren't very satisfied. So now Balaram is going, because that's his nature. He's very compassionate. So the Acharyas explain, why didn't Krishna go? So Vishnu explains in the purport of Bhagavatam, he says that the Yadavas, the residents of Dwarka, they're very clever. And they're very intelligent. And they understand the depth. They understand the intensity of the pure love of the Brijvasis. We will meet mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda. And they will shower him with so much love and affection, such pure parental love, such vatsalya bhava. They will kiss him, and they will embrace him, and they will smell his head, and they will feed him yogurt and butter, and such yogurt and butter of Braj, the wheat is not available here in Dwarka. These cows in Dwarka, we can't make the kind of yogurt and butter that they make in Braj. And he will eat that butter, and he will drink their affection with his heart. He will drink the affection of Yashoda with his heart. And what will happen then? What to speak of his mother and father? When he meets with his suckers, with his coward boys, and with the gopis? Forget it. We're finished. The Dwarkavasis are saying, the Yadavas are saying, we're finished. He'll never come back. Once he meets with Radhika, Vishaka, Lalita, Ashtasakis, and they shower him with their affection, and they show their intimate ways of dealing, he'll never come back. Therefore, we can't let him go. So the Yadavas, Vishnu explains here, they prevented him from going. Because they know the nature of Krishna, another nature of Krishna, besides sometimes exhibiting the quality of being ungrateful for some higher purpose. Another nature of Krishna, which is his overwhelming nature, is his nature to be controlled by pure love, by absolute surrender. Selfless, pure love controls Krishna. So that is the love that abounds in the Dham of Vrindavan. The Brijvasis, they imbibe that love. They are the very embodiments of that love. So this is what the Yadavas were saying. We know the love of the Brijvasis. So as it says here, that Krishna reciprocates with the ever-increasing love of the inhabitants of Braj. So then they held him also. They said, no, you can't go. Even if he wanted to go, they wouldn't let him go. So anyway, Balaram came, and he arrived in Vrindavan 2 months ago, approximately 2 months ago, beginning of March, March, April, April, May. Then he met with all the Brijvasis, and they exchanged greetings according to their level. He embraced some, he shook hands with others. And when Nanda and Yashoda saw him, they spoke this verse, because they were overwhelmed with some Aishwarya Bhav, with a mood of reverence and awe. So they spoke this verse, Chiramna Pahi Harshaha Samjo Jagadishwaraha Itya Rokyakam Alingya Nitrai Shishitur Jale. They said, Nanda Yashoda, they said, oh Jagadishwara! This is their beloved Balaram, their son. They said, oh Jagadishwara! Oh, controller of the universe, lord of the universe, are you and your younger brother Krishna doing well? Are you going to protect us? Because the Jagadishwara, the controller, he's also the protector. Krishna's protecting everyone in the universe by his expansion as Paramatma. So they're saying like this, and then, so they're overwhelmed with this kind of mood of Aishwarya and awe and reverence and adoration and some distance. But then, they actually, that when they saw the beautiful face of Balaram, because what happened, when Balaram came into Vrindavan, he was riding his chariot, his royal chariot, and he was bedecked with all royal regalia, big golden crown and epaulettes and so much armor and swords, But as soon as Yogamaya, because Purnamasi is always living here in Vrindavan, she said, oh, Dalji's come back? Krishna's here? What is this? Why is no one will recognize this Vaish? I know who it is. You can't fool me. I know there's Dalji under there. It's not Lord Holiday. It's Dalji. So immediately she said, with the Yogamaya, she just took away that royal Rajavesh, and she decorated Balaram in his beautiful blue dhoti, beautiful turban, like he has pink turban, and dhoti, and beautiful outfit. He put in his Gopavesh. So when Balaram arrived in Vrindavan, they saw, oh, Krishna's come back. Balaram is here. Because if you see Balaram, then you must see Krishna. Just like in our experience, if we see the secretary of some guru, he arrives, some secretary, we say, oh, there's Krishnadas, the proverbial Krishnadas. There's Krishnadas. Oh, Gopal Krishnaraj must be nearby because he's his servant. So as soon as they saw the elder brother, oh, Krishna, he must be right behind. He must have stopped to eat some fruits in Vrindavan or maybe jump in the Jamuna. But anyway, he must be right behind. So when Balaram came, he was in his Gopavesh, beautiful form as a coward boy. But because so much time had passed, Nanda and Yashoda, they were saying Jagadishvara. But then, when they saw that beautiful Vesh, they saw Balaram exhibiting his beautiful, sweet features of a Gopa. They immediately, Nanda Maharaj first, he grabbed him. The father and his son are very close. So he grabbed Balaram and he put him on his lap. And he started smelling his head and he's embracing him and smothering him with kisses. And then he was holding him like that. And Yashoda, she grabbed Balaram. Hey, Dalji! And she put him on her lap and she started kissing him. Vishnu says he was being drenched with kisses. He was being showered and drenched with kisses. And so this is the greeting. So then afterwards, he met with the other personalities. And there's one verse. The next verse, it says he greeted everyone, and it ends by saying, everyone in Vrindavan had dedicated everything to the lotus-eyed Krishna. So they were asking Balaram, how is Krishna? Does he remember us? Does he think of us? These are the friends, the gopas. And the last word in this particular verse is, sannyas akila ravasa, which is translated, means dedicating everything. So what it also means, the acharyas also explain, the word sannyas means nyas. Sun means everything. Nyas means to renounce or give up. So what actually happened, this word sannyas means that when Krishna and Balaram left Vrindavan, the Brijvasis, his father, his mother, his friends, his girlfriends, they gave up everything. Gave up everything means they stopped eating. They stopped sleeping, they stopped drinking, and they would just lie on the ground, or they would go to a tree, they'd go to a tamal tree and start speaking to the tamal tree, and wandering here and there, speaking deliriously, speaking to each other, embracing each other, and acting pastimes. Vishwanath explains that this word also means that. But they gave up, not that just they dedicated everything to Krishna, remembering and singing about him, but they couldn't even eat. This is real renunciation. Without Krishna, they can't exist. So then, Balaram, he met with the gopis. And that's explained, goes on, he meets with the gopis. And then, he meets with his gopis and Krishna's gopis. Of course, when Krishna's gopis see Balaram, their mood, the way they reciprocate with Balaram is as a friend. He's the elder brother. They're in a mood of Sakya Ras. He's my friend. There is no Madhurya exchange with gopis of Krishna with Balaram. But they're very interested to find out about Krishna. But when Balaram's gopis came, they were very excited. Oh, our beloved has come back. Because their mood towards Balaram is Madhurya, conjugal love. So now when he meets the gopis that speak here in verses 9 through 14, these are Krishna's gopis. So the first verse explains that when they were speaking to Balaram, it says they were smiling. Gopio Purasri Janavalava. The very beloved gopis of Krishna, they met with Balaram. Now they're smiling. Now ordinarily, because their mood towards Balaram is a little formal, Krishna's gopis are feeling a friendship. They would not smile openly in front of Balaram. Just show a smiling face, a very happy face. He would be more sober. So why do they smile? So it's explained in the purport here that they smiled because they went completely mad. When they saw Balaram, because Balaram is no different from Krishna. He looks as beautiful as Krishna. The only difference between Krishna and Balaram is his complexion is white like an autumn cloud. Like an autumn cloud. There's two clouds. There's the autumn Sharad Megh, and there's the monsoon Megh, whatever the word for monsoon is. So in autumn season is Sharad. So in Sharad season, after the monsoon season, the rainy season, all the clouds, they finish all their rain. But in the monsoon season, the clouds are dark blue, Sham Varna. They're dark blue, like Krishna. So Krishna is the color of the Sham Megh, this blue cloud of the monsoon. Because he's always raining down, his frame, his Braja frame is raining from his form. His body is like a cloud. But then it comes the autumn time, in the fall season, the clouds have no more water inside. So they're not blue, they're white. So Balaram is compared to be like, his complexion is like autumn, like an autumn cloud, white like an autumn cloud. When the gopis saw this white cloud, this beautiful cloud of Balaram, this beautiful form of Balaram, they went completely mad. They entered into a state of Divyonmad Mahabhava, divine madness and spiritual ecstasy. They went completely mad. And they started talking. So they were smiling not because, oh, when you meet somebody you haven't seen for a long time, oh, Krishna, nice to see you, you smile. Krishnadasi and the two ladies, they smile, they raise or offer obeisances or whatever. There wasn't a smiling of welcoming. They were smiling because they were in madness. It's like sometimes you see a mad person who goes around. A mad person has a mad smile on his face. So they had a mad smile when they saw. So then they started speaking to him. And they asked questions. They said, is Krishna the darling of the city women living happily? Because now he's in the Dwarka with the city women. He's no longer with the gopis, with the cowherd girls, the village girls. And then he says, does he remember his family members, father and mother? Do you think he'll ever come back to see his mother? Does the mighty arm Krishna remember? Then he explains, actually, the Vishwanath explains, the gopis say, actually, he's in the city in Dwarka, but the city women of Dwarka, they can't be better than us. They can't be better than us in giving pleasure to Krishna in the pastimes of conjugal love. Rather, he must sometimes remember us because we used to string beautiful flower garlands for him, made of bokul flowers and so many nice flowers, malati and madhavi. And we used to decorate the nikunjas for him and make nice flower beds and flower canopies. And we prepare natural perfumes for him, and kasturi from the forest. So many wonderful things from the forest of Braja, which aren't available in the big city kingdom. So he must be relishing. He must be remembering us. And then they finish this verse by saying, Anuseva Mahabhuja. Everyone knows this word, Mahabhuja. Bhuja means powerful arms. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is addressed as Mahabhuj, isn't it? O mighty armed one, Mahabhuja. O mighty, like we have Satbhuj. Satbhuj is the six arm incarnation, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Rama. So the gopis say, O Mahabhuj, Bhuja. So the acharyas say, what are they saying here? Why are they calling? They ask Balaram, does Mahabhuja remember us? What they're saying is, now they're saying that this Mahabhuja, stout arms, stout, powerful, muscular arms, those are a symptom of a hero. Those aren't a symptom of a conjugal lover. So they're saying that, yes, now he has Mahabhuja. Now he's a Kshatriya, and he's exhibiting so much prowess, and he's defeating so many demons, Shaman, Dantavaka, or not Dantavaka, but so many demons he's killing. So he's got these stout arms, Mahabhuja. But these arms, I'm sure, because he's Mahabhuj, he's not enjoying those sweet conjugal pastimes as he did here in Braja with us. So it's another way they're also indicating by choice of words that, oh yes, now he's showing off. Now he's showing off as a big Kshatriya. He's Mahabhuj. But that also shows us that he's not able to relish the sweetness of our association here in Vrindavan. So then they go on. And then they explain, as they get further and further absorbed in thinking of Krishna, they say, we gave up everything for him. We abandoned our mothers, fathers, brothers, husbands. We gave up everything. So then Balaram, he asked him a question. He said, well, why didn't you do anything? When Krishna, why didn't you do anything to prevent Krishna from going? Why didn't you try to stop him when he left Vrindavan? And they said, well, we trusted his words. That's what they say in the next verse. They say, we trusted his words. And they say, and here's what they say, they give two reasons why they trusted Krishna. One reason is that he spoke so wonderfully. He spoke so wonderfully that when the gopis heard Krishna's words, yes, I'll come back, don't worry, just think of me, I'll be with you, they became full of astonishment. Because Krishna's a very clever linguist. He's a very expert speaker. So when the gopis heard his speech, they trusted him, oh yes, surely he'll come back. And he astounded them and astonished them with his words. And so in their separation, they continued to think that, yes, he'll come back. And the second reason they believed him, because when he spoke to them, when Krishna spoke to them, his beautiful smiling glances aroused their love within their heart. So what happened is that Krishna kind of hypnotized them. He was speaking very cleverly and very wonderfully, wonderful language, and his face is so beautiful that they just looked at him and his beautiful lotus petal eyes and his beautiful face, they forgot everything, and while they were looking at him, the love within their heart was rising so much that they said, oh, surely he'll come back. Surely he'll come back. So that's what the answer that they gave Balaram when he said, why didn't you just stop him? Why did you let him go? So then, after speaking different verses, other gopis were hearing this, and then some gopis, they were feeling rather... Because the whole mood of the gopis, this time they're ridiculing Krishna for not coming back. So being agitated by this loving mood of extreme jealousy, then they said, anyway, some of the gopis, they talked to the other gopis, why bother talking about him? Just stop it. Stop talking about him. Just let's talk of something else. If he can be in Dwarka, the city, passing his time without us, then we'll certainly pass our time without him. So this is the exchange they had. So then Balaram, of course, he had words of consolation. He tried to console the gopis and conciliate them. And he had different messages that Krishna gave, different messages to Balaram to give to different gopis. Tell Radharani this, tell Vishakha this, tell the other gopis this. He gave them different messages. So he tried in his own way to give these messages to console them. And it had some effect. And then the gopis were saying, yes, all right, you're comforting us, but still we have some doubts. And then Balaram replied to their doubts. He could understand they were doubting. He said, listen, my dear girls, now I've consoled you, I've comforted you, I've made you understand. I'm going now. I will return shortly to Dwarka. And I will bring Krishna here by force. Because you know, my name, because Balaram's other name is Sankarshan. Sankarshan means to pull, to attract, Karshan, to attract everyone and everything. So Balaram has that ability to pull someone, to attract someone. So he says, I am Sankarshan. I will bring him here by force. He said, I am not exclusively under his control like Uddhava. Because he could read their minds, because the gopis were thinking, all right, Balaram, you told us, yes, you told us to relax, Krishna's coming back. But Uddhava said the same thing. So how can we trust you? So Uddhava, Balaram could read their mind. So he says, look, I'm not like Uddhava. Uddhava's completely controlled. He's in Dasya Bhava. He's fixed in Dasya Bhava as a surrendered servant of Krishna. He's controlled by Krishna. But I'm moving all the rasas. And so I'm not exclusively controlled by Krishna. I'm Sankrishna. I'll bring him back. Don't worry. So Balaram gave his reassurance to the gopis. So then, of course, the full moon came. It was time for rasa dance. This night, it's a very beautiful night. And Balaram was dressed in his blue dhoti and a nice tilak made of kasturi, which was musk, black tilak. It's very beautiful. His complexion like an autumn cloud. Beautiful long arms, powerful chest, and like gunjamala on it. You can imagine a beautiful white transcendental body, these red and black berries, gunjamala on it, and this black tilak, musk tilak. Looking very beautiful.
So why does Balaram wear a blue dhoti?
Radharani wears a blue sari and Balaram wears a blue dhoti. Because this is Sham. This is Sham Varna. Because Balaram is absorbed in this mood of serving Krishna. Just as Radharani is absorbed in the mood of serving Krishna. So she wears this blue because she wants to be reminded. Balaram wants to be reminded of my Lord, of my Master, of my friend, of my beloved. My Lord Krishna, my Sham. And there's so many pastimes. Once, it's explained in Nectar Devotion, when Shankashura or Shankachuda attacked Krishna and all the gopis, then Krishna, when Balaram was watching this, of course, then he took part to guard the gopis when Krishna pursued him. But when Balaram was watching this and explained the Nectar Devotion, he was turning bluer and bluer and bluer. He started turning Sham color, Krishna color, because he was so much concerned about Krishna. And then one day when Balaram went out with the cows, he was wandering with the cows, and he saw the gopis. The gopis were feeling intense separation from Krishna. They were lying on the ground under some tamal trees. And they were crying, and some of them were wandering hither and thither, and they were speaking like crazy words, incoherently, and they were shaking, they were crying, and they were feeling great separation. So Balaram, feeling very compassionate, because this is his nature, he's feeling compassionate. That's another, in the beginning of this chapter, actually. It says that Balaram is full of compassion. When he first came, there's a verse in the purport by Vishnath. He says, Nityananda sarupo vi prema tapto prajogasam jajo krishnam api jagva yastam ramam marustama. It says that Balaram is known as the original Nityananda. He's always full of unlimited bliss. Vishnath's explaining. Even though he's full of unlimited bliss, he's always enjoying. It says that he felt compassion for the Vrijvasis. That's another reason why he left Dwarka, because he could feel it. Although Krishna was feeling somewhat ungrateful and didn't go, but that even though this is the nature of Balaram, he's compassionate. So when Balaram saw the gopis were feeling this intense pain of separation, he went up to them, and he sat with them, and he started narrating Krishna's thirsty. You get thirsty, and then you want to drink some water. So, one step before that, I could say, before they actually got thirsty, they drank the Vruni beverage. Vrunadeva, he sent his daughter in the form of liquid honey oozing from the trees. So this liquid honey coming down the trees, it saturated the forest with a beautiful sweet fragrance, which was added to all the flowers that were blooming, the night-blooming lotuses. There's a lotus that blooms at night called Kumudi. Kumudi. Very nice name also, Kumudi. Kumudi blooms at night. So the Kumudi lotus flowers mixed with this beautiful honey made a wonderfully intoxicating fragrance. So when Balaram, he went to those trees and he drank that honey. Basically it's called Madhupan. Madhupan means honey wine. And all the gopis drank and they became intoxicated. And after Balaram, when he was intoxicated from drinking that honey, he started speaking like an intoxicated man. He said, oh! He looked at the ground abruptly. He said, oh, king of the ants! Oh, king of the ants! Why are you hiding in that hole? Why are you hiding in that hole? Come out of there. And then he looked up at the sky. He looked up into the heavens, into the celestial region. He said, oh, Indra, you plaything of Shachi. Shachi's his wife. He said, you're a plaything. In other words, you're controlled by your wife. He said, oh, Indra, you're controlled by your wife. I'm going to take my plow and my club and destroy the whole universe. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. To quote American English. There is nothing you can do about it. And Krishna won't stop me either. My little brother Krishna won't stop me. So watch out, Indra. And then Balaram turned to the gopis and he said, hey, why is the moon become elongated? The moon became elongated, long and skinny. And why is the earth trembling under my feet? So in this way, Balaram was intoxicated. Transcendental intoxication, right? Like Sankirtan. Prabhupada used to say Sankirtan, book distribution, and chanting the holy name is transcendental intoxication. So one day, when Radharani first saw Krishna, their very first meeting, Radharani also became intoxicated. She became intoxicated by the darshan. She saw Krishna, that first time she saw Krishna. Then she went back to her gopikas, and she started staggering. And then she started stuttering, and she was speaking, looking at the stars and wandering here and there, and she exhibited all the symptoms of an intoxicated person. It's explained in Nectar Devotion. So Radharani also became intoxicated just by seeing Krishna the first time she saw him. So now Balaram's dancing with the gopis and they're all intoxicated. And when you get intoxicated, sometimes you get very thirsty. So then Balaram went to the Yamuna and said, "Hey, Yamuna, come here. I want to drink something. Drink some water. And also after I drink and slack my thirst, we want to swim in your waters and relieve our fatigue of rasa dancing." So Yamuna was thinking, Kalani was thinking, the words of an intoxicated person, when an intoxicated person speaks, you don't have to consider his words. You don't have to pay attention. When some drunkard speaks, you don't have to pay any attention. So Balaram's like, come here. So she's thinking like that. I don't have to pay attention to Balaram. He's intoxicated. I'm not going there. If he wants some white water, he can come here. And Balaram became very angry. What? You're not coming? All right. You'll see. I'll take my plow and I'll cut you into 100 streams. So he took his plow and she said, whoa. Then she came. But of course, there's some tattva here. How is it that Kalindi can be having this pastime with Balaram or Yamuna Devi? Because Yamuna Devi, who is the Sakhi in Vrindavan, who's serving the pastime, she's an expansion of Vishakha. So Vishakha doesn't mix with Balaram, so it can't be Yamuna Devi that's expanded as Vishakha. And it can't be Kalindi either, because Kalindi went to Dwarka to marry Krishna as his queen. She's there. So who is it? Because it's Kalindi. So the Acharyas say it's a shadow of Kalindi. A shadow. Kalindi Chaya. A shadow of Kalindi. Or an expansion of Kalindi that came for this pastime with Balaram. So she was forgiven by Balaram. And then they swam. And they had a wonderful time. And then that was basically the pastime. So in this pastime, you can see that this pastime and all the pastimes, if Balaram, you want to explain something, a little bit about tattva, about the actual tattva, this is a very kind of pastime. Balaram, he's known as Sevaka, Sevaka Bhagavan. And Krishna is known as Savior, Savior Bhagavan. Sevaka Bhagavan means that Balaram is the supreme personality of servants or Godhead. He's a servant, dasasmi. And Krishna is the supreme personality of God, Krishna, Savior Bhagavan. So this feature of Sevaka Bhagavan is very interesting. Because Balaram, although he is the supreme personality of God, and he is non-different, only different complexion, he has all the power, all the abilities, everything, he positions himself as a servant of Krishna. Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, all the demigods, everyone in the universe thinks of themselves as subordinate to Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasavya Vritya. There is one supreme master, one supreme controller, Eka Ishvara Krishna. Everyone else is a servant. So Balaram, his only meditation is, I want to serve Krishna. So whenever Krishna comes to this world, Balaram thinks, I want to go there and serve the Lord. So he serves the Lord in all the different rasas, in Dakti Ras, in Sakhi Ras, in Vatsali Ras, in Madhurya Ras. In fact, sometimes in this mood of a parent, Balaram acts as a parent, as a protector, because a mother and father means this parental love, means they're always protecting their son. So one time when Krishna stole yogurt, he stole yogurt from an old lady. The old lady's name was Jarati. Jarati. Of course, Jarati is described in Nectar Devotion also. One time the gopis were joking with Jarati. They said, "Oh, Jarati, your face is so beautiful. Oh, Jarati, your face is as beautiful as the face of a dog. Or no, face of a frog. And your eyes are as beautiful as the eyes of a dog. And your breasts are as beautiful as two string beans." No, string beans. Like that. So the gopis were mocking Jarati. So this same old lady, Jarati, Krishna broke into her house one day so she wouldn't feel so bad. Because the gopis gave her a hard time by mocking with her and ridiculing her. So Krishna, he always wants everyone to be happy. So he broke into her house and he sold yogurt. And she saw him. "Hey, Gopal." And she started running after him. Krishna said, I'm going to get caught. So he ran, he saw Balaram, he ran behind Balaram. "Hey Balaram, I just stole yogurt from Charity's house. Please, you have to protect me." So in this pastime, Balaram was playing the role of Vatsalya Bhav, the protector. So many pastimes. One day, when it was Krishna's birthday, so then Balaram, he told his father, Nanda, he said, "I don't want to go out with the cows today. I don't want to go out today. You better send some other boys out with the cows. Today's Krishna's birthday. I want to stay back here. I want to stay home today.
Let someone take the cows. I want to stay home today and bathe my brother. I want to bathe my little brother. Do Abhishek. He's in the mood of a parent. So Balaram, he serves in all the different rasas. And in fact, he expands, one of his expansions is all the paraphernalia. Everything that Krishna uses is Balaram. Krishna's flute is Balaram. Krishna's dress is Balaram. Krishna's crown is Balaram. Krishna's shoes are, of course he doesn't wear shoes in Vrindavan. But Krishna's shoes, slippers and Dwarka are Balaram. His bed is Balaram. Everything is Balaram. And then when Balaram wants to come down from the Sankirtan movement as Lord Nityananda, because Nityananda and Balaram are non-different, then Balaram comes down as the Mardanga. That's why we call our Mardanga, Balaram Mardanga. There's a Siddhanta behind that name. Balaram expands as a Mardanga. And of course we offer prayers to the Mardanga. Any Bengali devotees, they know. Or maybe Kirtaniers, they know there's so many prayers you offer. One of the prayers you offer to Mardanga before you play it is, oh, dear Mardanga, you're an expansion of Sankarshan, an expansion of Balaram. Please enable me to play you nicely for the service of the Sankirtan movement. The nice obeisances. So he expands all the paraphernalia, and then Balaram becomes the holy Dham. Because Balaram is Chit Shakti, Sandini, Sandini and Samvit. He is the existence potency. So for Krishna's pastimes to exist, it requires Balaram. So he expands into Brajadam. So therefore, Balaram has a very intimate relationship with us. Because if we want to enter into Brajaras, if we want, we need the mercy of Balaram. If we want to live in Vrindavan, we need the mercy of Balaram. If we want to be successful, if we want to be successful in the performance of any devotional service, we need the mercy of Balaram. Or the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. And he appears either as Nityananda or as Balaram. And there's a special feature about Balaram. Lord Balaram and Nityananda don't take any offenses. They don't take offenses. They simply give mercy. And Balaram's duty is with his plow, he pulls out all the bad things from our heart. Just like you step on a splinter, or you step on a piece of wood and you get a splinter in your foot, you take a needle, you take some needle or pin and you pluck out the splinter. You take out the splinter from your foot because it's impeding your progress. It's impeding your movement. So we have many splinters in our hearts. Anarthas, ignorance, material desires. So in the pastime of killing Dainakasura in Taliban, Balaram showed, by killing Dainakasura, the ass demon, he showed that he himself removes undesirable things from the heart. He takes away anarthas, he takes away material desires, and all undesirable qualities, all bad qualities we have in our heart. Balaram takes them out. He takes away his plow, just like splinters in the heart. He takes his plow and chops into the heart, pulls out all the material desires, undesirable qualities, and an artist. This is the mercy of Balaram. He's so merciful. And by praying to Lord Balaram and praying to Nityananda, we get the strength to actually avoid the 10 offenses, to chant offenselessly. So to hear about the pastimes, of course, the boon, there's a benediction given in this chapter. At the end of this chapter says, if anyone hears this pastime of Balaram dancing with the gopis on this Purnima, he will become very, very dear to Krishna. He or she will become very, very dear to Krishna. This is a benediction just by hearing this pastime of the Bhagavatam. Not every chapter of Bhagavatam is benediction, although Shrimatam Swakata Krishna is going on. Krishna Katha purifies the heart and creates punya. But special pastimes are special. It's like a special blessing Shukadeva Goswami is giving. So he said, you become dear. He ends this chapter by saying, you will become dear to Krishna, Krishna Priya, by hearing this pastime of Balaram. Why? Because Balaram will give you his mercy. So if we want to attain the service, the loving service of Radha Krishna Vrindavan, in the mood of the gopis, we need the mercy of Balaram or Lord Nityananda. They are not different. So by pleasing Balaram, we're pleasing Nityananda. Or by pleasing Lord Nityananda, we're pleasing Balaram. So either way. So this is some of the explanation. Because Balaram is very compassionate. Just as Nityananda is compassionate, more so than Chaitanya, Balaram is more compassionate than Krishna. So this is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is full of two compassionate lords. Actually, three compassionate lords. There's Nityananda, Balaram, and Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is Karunamayi. She's made of compassion, so she's very compassionate. But in this particular day, we want to take shelter of Lord Balaram, remember his pastimes, and pray to him for that mercy, for that power, that strength, that we can also enter into Brajaras, and that we have the strength to perform devotional service, and the purity to chant without offenses. and be pure, that our hearts become pure from all these anarthas and unwanted things. Shri Balaram Rasaya Chaki.
I just don't understand, how were the Yadavas able to keep Krishna from going back to Vrindavan?
Well, that's one, Vishnu gives that reason. They kept him, they locked him up. But actually, it's Krishna's, nothing moves without Krishna's desire. So as Krishna told, when Balaram is pleading with, oh, come back, you cruel, you're so cruel. Why didn't you come to Vrindavan with me? Come on, you don't have to drive, I'll drive. He's like, you want to go somewhere with your friend? And he says, no, I don't want to drive. No, I'll do all the driving. You just sit there and talk to me. I'll do all the driving. Sometimes it's Sankirtan devotees, they talk like that. So Balaram says, no, you don't have to drive. I'll drive. I'll drive to Vrindavan. Just sit in the chariot. No, I won't go. So Krishna had his reasons for not going. Because, of course, he did come back. After he killed Nandabhadra, Krishna did come back to Raja. So he did keep his promise. Krishna does keep his promise. So he had his own purposes to increase, to show the intensity of the gopis' love. He showed it once with Uddhava, now he's showing it again with Balaram. Because there's so many commentaries written about this, to show their madness. And then finally he did come back. So Krishna didn't come. You're right, the Yadavas can't keep Krishna. No one can hold Krishna. No one can hold Krishna. The only thing that can hold Krishna is pure love. Thousands and thousands of ropes can't bind Krishna in the Damodar Lila. But when Yashoda started crying, my baby, please, I want to bind you. Don't you understand how much I love you? Please let me die. I want to. So when Yashoda showed so much love for Krishna, then Krishna was conquered by that pure love of Yashoda, and then he was tied up. So the Yadavas, they have intense love, but not the intensity of the Vrijvasis. So Krishna, with the Vrijvasis' love, could automatically pull Krishna like a powerful magnet can attract filings. They just jump on that magnet. Big magnet, and there's a little piece of iron. They jump, they fly across the room onto that magnet. So the power of the Vrijvasis' love, Krishna will fly there in a second. He'll fly there in a second. But for his own purposes, he constrained himself. He kept himself in Dwarka. It's nice, a lot of devotees, they just came back from Dwarka. You came from Dwarka, Balaram also came from Dwarka now, and he's here. Balaram's here. You know he's here, but he's especially here now. Tonight he'll be dancing at Ramgad. If we had the Adhikar, if we had the purity, if we had the desire, we could go to Ramgad and darshan of Balaram. Maybe a thousand lifetimes, a million lifetimes, we may go to Ramgad and see Balaram dancing on the banks of the Yamuna. In Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses how the 20 demons in Brajalila represent particular anarthas, or obstacles to the path of prema bhakti. Within each conditioned soul, we have different anarthas, or lots of anarthas. In order to become pure, we must become free from all those undesirable qualities and material impediments. So these pastimes where Krishna's killing demons or Balaram's killing demons, they represent those different anarthas. Greed, lust, anger, envy, fault-finding, attachment to mundane religion, attachment to scholarship, etc., etc. So there's two specifically mentioned, Nenakasura and Pralambasura. They represent some very powerful anarthas within the heart of the jiva, the Nityabhadda jiva. And specifically, they represent, Dainakasura, of course, represents the quality of envy, not wanting someone to advance or eat the tala fruits of bhakti, not wanting anyone to eat them. You can't eat the tala fruits of bhakti, of advanced bhakti, but you don't want anyone else to eat the tala fruits of bhakti. So this is the envy of progressive or advanced devotees that also exists. We see that it comes out in different ways. In a Vaishnava Sangha, we may envy those above us and criticize them or fault find them for no reason. So there's envy there represented by Dainakasura. In Pralambasura, he represents the sister of envy or the brother of envy, lust. Pralambasura represents licentiousness. The unwanted or the illicit desire for man to enjoy woman, or the illicit desire for woman to enjoy man, it's called licentiousness. Illicit life. So these two anarthas, kam and matsarya, isn't it? Envy and lust are very powerful anarthas. So Balaram kills those demons. So the Acharyas explain that on our own, alone, we cannot get free from lust and envy. We need help. Where do we get help? We get help from Guru. We get help from Krishna. Krishna appears as Mantra. And Guru appears as Kripa, Kripa Shakti Murti. So with the mercy of Guru and the mantra which is Krishna, Diksha Mantra and Harinam is Radhan Krishna, Krishna and Balaram are there. With that strength, we can conquer these enemies of envy and lust. So it's explained further, if you read a little closer in the description in the book, that when one is confronting the enemies of lust and envy, he must become very humble and cry out. He must cry out with arms raised above his head, "Oh Balaram, oh Dalji, you are Krishna's big brother. Now you have to be my big brother. You're Krishna's big brother and you always come to his aid and you always come and protect him. So now you have to come and help me and protect me." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the devotees will cry out. They will cry out in a state of helplessness. "I am helpless, I am small, infinitesimal, very tiny. Oh Balaram, please help me. Please give me strength. Please bring your plow over here, bring your club over here and help me get free from these anarthas." So this is actually the bhajan. This is actually the response of the sincere devotee when he's confronting the mountain of anarthas. A mountain of anarthas can only be broken by a powerful thunderbolt club of Balaram. Just like Indra throws his thunderbolt and breaks off the top of mountains. So it's explained that we meditate on the thunderbolt underneath the lotus feet on Krishna's right foot. There's a beautiful thunderbolt, lightning bolt. And we meditate on that lightning bolt. And that lightning bolt on the foot of Krishna will destroy the mountain of sin stored within our heart. The mountain of sins, there's a whole mountain of anarthas and sins within our heart. And we just meditate on Krishna's feet on that thunderbolt. And that thunderbolt, shoots through the air, through our heart, and destroys that mountain of sin, mountain of envy, mountain of lust. So that same thunderbolt is in the hand of Balaram. That thunderbolt becomes the club of Balaram. That's why it's called Haladara. Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Keshavadrita Haladara. Haladara means he holds the Dara. Dara means he holds the Hala. Haladara, he holds a club to destroy the sins in the heart of Shiva. So we beg Balaram, please help me. So in Dwarka, there's one pastime explained. The gopis, one time they went to Dwarka. They were thinking, "All right, Krishna," because sometimes this happens in conjugal relationships. If the man won't go to the woman will go to the man. So they're thinking, "All right, you won't come back to Vrindavan, then we'll bring Vrindavan to you. If you won't come to Vrindavan, then we will bring Vrindavan to you." So the gopis went to Dwarka. Not exactly Dwarka, but they went nearby Dwarka, to a beautiful forest. And in that forest, immediately by the touch of Yogamaya, it became Vrindavan. Beautiful Vrindavan. And there's a beautiful lake was there. So Krishna, he adopted his gopavesh, he went there, and he danced with the gopis and rats, and he enjoyed with them so many nights, thousands and millions of nights, because he stretched that night for so long. And then the gopis were feeling very fatigued and also thirsty. So then Krishna said, "Let's go to the lake, let's swim in the lake." So then they went to the lake and they drank some water, they drank some water, and they swam there and sported there, and they played jalkeli. They were splashing each other under the moonlight. And the ocean, the roaring of the ocean waves was providing background music. And the demigods in the heavens were playing kettle drums. So many musical instruments were being played by apsaras and gandharvas and kinnarets. Beautiful celestial concert. So they're playing water sports. And while they were playing, all the different ointments and unguents and cosmetics were washing off their bodies. The cudgel from the gopi's eyes, and the sandalwood pulp from Krishna's body, and the sandalwood tilak, and the kasturi, the dots of musk on Radharani's chin. There's a beautiful drop of musk on her chin, which looks like a bumblebee sitting on the petal of a golden lotus flower. The little drop of black musk on Radharani's golden lotus face looks like a little bumblebee, little black bee sitting on the petal of a golden lotus flower. The petal is her chin. Her chin is like a lotus petal. So this drop washed off into the water, and then the kumkum from the breast of the gopis washed off, and the lac dye underneath their feet washed off, and all the these different things washed off, and the oils, the beautiful oils they were using, washed off their bodies, and it all went down into the bottom of the lake, and it mixed up with the earth there, mixed up with the clay. And then after that pastime, then they came back to Vrindavan. This is what our acharyas tell us. Because in the field of bhakti, there's the principle of tattva and siddhanta. Siddhanta is established by the acharyas. Our acharyas are the Sadh Goswamis. Rupa Raghunatha Pali, Haldi Akuti. We must be eager to strictly follow the line drawn by Rupa Goswami and Das Goswami. Because they studied all the Vedic literatures. Vipano, Nana Shastra, Vicharana, Nipano. Nipano means they're very expert. Nippon. They're very expert in studying all the Shastras and picking out exactly the right stories, exactly the right shlokas, exactly the right siddhanta for anukul bhakti, to make our bhakti flourish and grow properly. So this is a story that's given by our acharyas about Govinda, not some other story. Because other stories may come in other Puranas, which were not selected by the Goswamis. And other stories, they will work against bhakti. They're pratikul. So one must be very careful whom he hears from and what shastras he reads. Everything must come under Guru and Goswami, Guru and Guranga. Guru, Guranga, Giriraj, Gandharvika, Giridhari, Goswami, all the G's. These are our safe shelter. So this is the story. So then when we go there and we get the tilak, the gopichan, it's explained in Hari Bhakti Vilas, if you wear gopichan on your body, tilak from that place, everything you do, all your activities, you get a million times the benefit. You wear this little box of tilak from Vaidyanath, Lord Shiva, caphorated tilak, scented tilak. It smells nice. Maybe it's soft, it looks nice, but you don't get so much benefit. But when you wear gopichan, you get a million times the benefit from your chanting, from your puja, from your bhajan. And we also have the experience, when you get gopichan, if you smell that gopichan, because we went there in 1986 and we dug some gopichan, it smells like perfume. It has its own beautiful fragrance. Why? We already explained. It's all the cosmetics and ointments and essential oils washing from the body of Krishna and all the gopis. That's why this is a very special tilak we're wearing on our body. This is Krishna's Mahaprasadam. It's Radhika's Mahaprasadam.